Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP. Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writers for the Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer. What's happening, Jim?
Not much. We're back from Houston. Last game of the year.
The last game of the year is finally here.
They haven't done it this early in a long time.
You know, people use this term a lot, and there's nothing that's a more fitting term to this being the last week of the year. Mercifully. It's time. It's time for this season to come to an end.
And it's interesting, though, because it's not like the merciful end like Cleveland's going through or Chicago. Like, this has been a weird – we'll get into this after it's over, but like another wide right field goal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the same stuff for 9 losses and a tie.
Yep.
Like, that's why it's a merciful end. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, but I mean, ugh.
Yeah, just play. You know what, though? Here was a theory that I kind of came away with from our lost Christmas Eve in Houston, Texas. I thought that was actually the best possible outcome for the Bengals. And let me tell you why.
Mock draft?
It's not because this does not affect the mock draft.
Oh, okay.
Because... Partially, yes. They take the L, so their draft pick, they are now 8th. Drafting 8th overall, potentially, who knows where they'll land, but moves them a little higher up. Impact player in the draft. Not my mock draft, but an impact player in the draft. But they finally made the plays in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, right?
So they made the plays. They had the touchdown. They had their... first touchdown in the United States in the fourth quarter when the game was within a possession.
Right.
So congratulations on that one for Brandon LaFell's 86-yard catch and run, which was a very nice play by him. And then getting the ball down to including Marcus Hunt with a blocked extra point that put it in position where a field goal would win it. They drove down the field. Dalton made the passes. Rex Burkhead made a couple nice runs. CJ Uzomah had a couple nice catches. And they set it up for a 43-yard field goal. As much as we have talked about the field goal woes, and it's been amongst the woes.
Oh, woes.
So many woes. The missing one right at the end has not been something that's happened this year. Because the offense never put them in position to do it.
Right.
But here, the offense did it. And then Randy Bullock pushed it wide right.
Ugh.
Because that's the only – there is no more outside of a tie when they went to England, no more fitting way for a game to end than for a wide right kick by the guy who was back in Houston, who was a draft pick by them back in 2012.
Yeah.
But so they did – they did what they wanted to offensively, so you get the satisfaction of that. And they get the satisfaction of now being 8th in the draft order. So I think win-win. And Randy Bullock is not going to be here next year. They knew they had to fix the kicker problem anyway, so who cares? You don't care if you win or lose. It's kind of how you play the game. And they actually made the plays in the fourth quarter to win a game. It's just that they still don't have a kicker that's worth a damn.
Yeah. Well, except for the defense. Oh, turning in their best performance of the year without Vontaze Burfict. against, you know, a Turkey Bowl quarterback.
Turkey Bowl, but, for sure. Turkey Bowl's, but then, Turkey Bowl's backup.
Yeah.
The guy who stands the on the side and drinks while Turkey Bowl plays.
Yeah, and then, like, that running back. And they were doing it, and then 4 yards, 75, four plays, 75 yards.
Boom.
Touchdown.
Just
lead
like
gone.
That.
Oh.
So, I mean,
it's
really
just like, I mean, you
over
know.
Over and over again with this stuff. It's unbelievable. So that was the game that was. But really, when we look back and talk about the trip to Houston, we'll talk mostly about A.J. Green, who didn't play. And so let's dive into the A.J. Green clusterama. Okay. So what you have here, what we have here, Jim, is a failure to communicate. We wake up Christmas Eve morning to word that A.J. Green, despite saying the day before, I am healthy enough to play and I'm playing this weekend, being shut down for the season and has been told that and bolted Houston. Said, deuces.
Yeah.
I'm out. Okay. So what we get, what it comes down to is the Bengals needed to meet with Doc's ownership.
Yeah.
Coaches.
This was started with ownership.
Yes. Absolutely. Had that meeting and made a call that it's not the right move to play A.J. Green the last 2 weeks. I don't disagree with that, and I don't know that many do disagree with that.
Yeah.
The obvious disagreement. Why could this conversation and decision not have happened in Cincinnati rather than flying your star player on Christmas weekend when none of the injured players are flying? He's the only he's there because he's playing. He has a three-month-old son about to have his first Christmas. You fly all the way to Houston, and they weren't going to get back till 4 in the morning after the game. And then you tell him that you're shutting him down rather than before you went? And no wonder the guy's like, well, get me out of here.
Yeah,
I didn't see any selfies with A.J. Green at IAH Airport, although I was waiting for one of those to pop up.
Yeah.
The concept of A.J. Green rolling through the airport, flying commercial back home to Cincinnati just kind of cracked me up. But, I mean, what a – A.J.'s mad. You know, yeah, of course he's mad because this isn't where he wants to be. We established that. That was really where the problem came from, was the fact that he was stuck in Houston.
Right. And some of this, you know, it's funny, Paul, the way – this works. I think the news broke on one national outlet, and then multiple reporters for another one started chiming in with various other things, and some of it was inaccurate. And but you know, the end result was A.J. Green left Houston. Marvin clarified post game that he asked to leave because all the other guys didn't travel, and they honored that request. I'm sure he was unhappy.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of that fervor, I think, was A.J. Green so angry he left. He stormed out, and he was pulled out of a meeting, which didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right, Paul. And you know what? Marvin didn't have an answer for it.
No.
You know, and I don't think anyone will. I think, in the summertime or whenever, someone will say, yeah, we probably should have handled it better. We should have done it Wednesday when he's told us he was playing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I don't think there's ever going to be an answer as to why. Other than Mike Brown and Katie Blackburn and the Brain Trust being like, you know, let's take another look at this hamstring. Again, as you said, to open this, not the worst decision.
No.
So, you know, it's one of those things where it's news. But it's like it could have been, what do you like to say? Make the easy things hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes. It's one of those things. It's an easy thing.
It's an easy thing to be
was
like.
Made really
we
difficult.
Feel like it's important to shut down this all-generation wide receiver with a hamstring issue right now to make sure that he's 100% and we don't have any issues with it going forward. Everyone would say yes. We agree with that.
Yeah.
Even AJ would be like, I mean, I get it.
Right.
I get it. If they would have been more up front. Instead, it was sort of dragged along and pulled along throughout all the weeks, and he wants to come back. And I get it. You had that. But once they were eliminated, I think it should have been like, we've decided that this is probably for the best. Or just be like, the hamstring isn't healed.
Right.
It obviously isn't healed.
And here's the thing, is AJ, you know, in every instance that we talked to him after this, and it was only a few, but he made it very clear he was going to try to play, very strongly worded statements.
Yeah.
And made it clear he was okay playing with a partially torn hamstring. Last time he talked to us before the declaration was, I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah. He said, I feel healthy enough to play, and I expect to play.
Yeah.
If I was out here quitting on my team, it would be cowardly, is what he said. So take that for whatever you want. I think he made pretty clear how he felt, and you had to tell that guy the opposite.
Yeah.
But that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
They're allowed to do that. But how about they do it with a little respect where he can go and not have to spend it? I mean, we had to spend our Christmas in Houston, but we didn't want to do it.
Do you think he watched Randy Bullock miss that kick wide right?
I would assume he watched the game.
Yeah, I would think it was on probably in the back.
I think he watched the game.
Yeah, because you're not really wrapping presents for a three-month-old.
No. This is the three-month-old won't even remember.
No.
But it's just, that's not the point.
Yeah.
It's still first Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's still the same respect that was given everybody else.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's move on from that. I think we've covered that. We've got plenty of other garbage to get to. All right. Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
Shut down. And this one kind of went under the radar with all the other injuries.
Yeah, I was like, oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way, the guy who constantly has injury issues, he's got another one. He hurt his back basically during a practice, it sounds like. Or maybe it was aggravated along the way, and once they were eliminated, it was taken a closer look at.
Right.
But, I mean, he may have been playing through it. We haven't had a chance to talk to him because he's been dealing with this, but he's got a – Tyler have a shutdown with a back injury, and surgery has been recommended for him.
Yeah.
You start talking about back surgery, and your eyes and ears should perk up saying, uh-oh, this seems bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and maybe it's not coincidence that, you know, another big tight end in this league has had back issues and back surgeries. I mean, those guys just get blasted.
Yeah.
And that's the interesting thing, Paul, because, you know, if we remember way back in week 4 or 5, he was supposed to come back for that Dallas game, got hurt in practice, and it was like, oh, what's going on? And then, you know, it took him 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was Cleveland. And then it was very limited. And then, so you kind of like forgot about it, like not forgot about it, but it, you know, it wasn't as sort of a big a deal, I guess, you know, and maybe it's just the way the season went too, where he wasn't really, and people would wonder, why doesn't he start? Because he only started a couple games.
Yeah.
Officially. Why is he run blocking more? Why is, you know, maybe this is part of it. You know, maybe he has had this back issue, and that's actually what we reported on over the weekend, was it's become more troublesome of late. Mm-hmm. And really flared up on him. So read between the lines there is it's been troublesome throughout the season. And it's to a point where he had to get shut down, to the point where surgery is recommended. So,
I mean, there was a point in midseason where I remember us having conversations with Marvin Lewis talking about the back thing before he even came back, wondering, is this going to end his year? And Marvin kind of offering up the example of some guys in the past that had played through severe back pain and had to find a tolerance for it, basically. Right. I think that was a part of what Tyler Eifert did this year.
Yeah.
For sure. Was deal with pain tolerance and all that stuff. And so, and it brought up an interesting thing, and I sort of posted this on Twitter over the weekend, and it's going to be an ongoing conversation between now and the first game of next year. And that's going to be whether you give Tyler Eifert an extension. By all accounts, if you took the injury history out of it, it would be a no-brainer. It'd be just like AJ Green's extension. And that happened before his fifth-year option that year, and you handed him the money, and you said, of course, we're giving it to you. And this team has been planning to give Tyler Eifert a whole lot of money over the last few years, saving it for this, knowing that he's a guy they're going to have to pay big money to and they want to. I mean, tight ends now, you're talking $10 million per.
Yeah.
So that's the going rate for a top tight end. Tight ends in this league also all get hurt.
Yeah.
All of them. You just kind of touched on it. I mean, guys, just every last one of them outside of Olsen and Witten pretty much have been hurt in some serious way in the last couple of years or missed consistent games.
Yeah.
It's just what happens. So what do you do? You definitely want to have a better handle on this disc issue.
Yeah. I mean, to me, look, I'm one of those cold-hearted people, man. I say, hey, love you, buddy. We'll revisit it next offseason. We picked up your option. It's our right.
They don't have to do anything.
Right. So to me, you know, you're talking about a guy who's at the end of his 20s who is going to be seeking a 4 to 5 year deal that's going to take him into his 30s, $10 million per, as you said. It's a lot of money. Which is fine, but when you've played 37 out of a possible 64 games, and of those 37 you've played, you haven't finished all of them.
Yep.
You know, to me, it's the nature of the beast. It sucks. He's a good player. He's all intents a good dude, and people like him.
You went all Stuart Smalley
on this
there.
But, you know.
He's good enough. He's smart enough.
Yeah.
Doggone it.
Got a broken back.
You
know, so, you know, it's just, look, and if he turns in 13 games, and I think that's respectable. I think for that position, 12 to 13, you got to assume these dudes are going to miss 3 to 4 games. 12 to 13 games, another Pro Bowl type year. Hey, all right. We'll pony up.
Right.
You know?
But then you open him up to free agency.
Yeah.
And free agency for a guy who didn't get an extension from a team, and I think even he understands that.
Right.
But at a certain point, he watched everybody get their money. He watched all these guys get their money that were drafted in his draft. But he had to stick around because he was drafted in the stupid first round.
Yep.
Which no player should want anymore.
No.
And so.
Unless you're quarterback. That works out for you, that 50, I think.
Yeah, because the number's so high.
Right.
But the number's so low.
For tight ends.
Tight ends. I mean, Eifert's getting.
Dre's getting paid $8 million this
year. Right.
So some of these guys, you know, tight ends, when Jimmy Graham lost that lawsuit or whatever he tried to do
to be receiver,
that really set them back. Yeah.
But I don't know. At a certain point, he, when healthy, is such an impact game changer. For any offense, and for this one in particular, you know, the chemistry he has with Dalton and the way he plays off of Green's skills is really the nucleus of your entire team.
Yep.
Are those three essentially? Everything else around them can kind of change. I mean, then you fix offensive line.
To me, though, Paul, the money's the same. Like if they go into it'd be like Marvin Jones, and you run that risk.
You run the risk.
But the difference there, though, to me, is where the money's going to be the same. It's not like you're going to be, I'm going to be the number one tight end. Like, the position is the position. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go to New York, it's still Odell Beckham. You're going to go to the Browns and deal with that? Okay, I mean.
Also, but, you know, this team likes to get in early, although they're a little almost late at this point, but. They like to get in a little earlier, and the earlier you can get this done, the sooner the contract ends, and he's not under contract for $10 million when he's in pushing into his 30s.
Right. And that's the thing that
– I mean, you want to get it done early.
Yeah.
There's advantages on both sides for that.
I mean, it's interesting, Paul. I mean, he's going to want to get paid top-end money over 4 to 5 years, whereas I can see the Bengals being like, we'll give you two. We'll bump up your base in 2017. You know, so it's like that 2-year extension, but like new money, kind of like what AJ got. you know, mm-hmm. is technically only a 3-year extension, but that this year was he got more. But you know, hey, look, you mentioned all those other guys got paid, but all those other guys were on the field.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You could say they earned it, you know, by being available. So
yeah, but you just said, I mean, that's what this position is. Guys that get banged up. And I think we've proven here, it's a really interesting decision that they have to go through. I mean, a lot of people are going to have different views on it within the organization.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, you've planned on doing this, and there's obviously other people you can give the money to. But it's something that they need to figure out what they probably are going to do before they go into free agency this year.
It would be helpful.
What's that?
They had a mock draft of the top.
Yeah, that would
available.
Help to let them know who's out there.
Right.
You're right. I think I could help them out with that.
Who they can get at number 39.
Oh. Am I going to have to go all the way through to 39 since I'm getting off easy on only having to go to 8?
Just need to do that too. Happy New Year.
Yeah. All right. Happy New Year. That's great.
But no, that's the other thing though, Paul. I mean, the cap's going up. But this team, in my opinion, is going to have a lot of roster turnover. I don't think we're going to see it with the coaching staff, which we'll get into in a bit here. But, you know, you're going to have to pay some other guys maybe who are free agents. You might have to pay your weak side linebacker who just had 100 tackles when you're talking about extensions with 1 year left.
Oh,
I'm just saying, it's that time. You can't bring up Tyler Eifert looking for a deal when you have another guy who's in the same boat.
Talk about availability.
Right. So
talk about availability.
Just saying. He's up like in that time frame.
Concussions
of when
and microfractures.
Exactly. So
and suspensions.
We can do a whole podcast on 85 and 55. I mean that
no doubt.
But there's
we probably will. This entire offseason will be about
you know what I mean? Like there, you've got a right guard. You've got a center who's got 1 year left on his deal. I mean,
they got money, though. I mean, they're not in a bad way financially, though.
But I guess what I'm saying is you might have – that might be the other thing with Tyler Eifert where, you know, maybe they thought they'd spend $50 million and, you know, maybe 8 of that or 9 of it would come out this year, give them a raise.
Maybe it doesn't and they choose to give it to 55 instead. Wow. Hey, let's move on to the other piece of garbage that's out there. All right. So, so you may have seen or heard this complete trash in a couple of different places. The first one being that Marvin Lewis is getting fired, according to some contributor to Forbes. .com wrote this. And we have, I'm not going to name names. We got some people in this city who apparently were running this like it was some sort of reputable story.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Really bad.
Like, it's a bad look on Forbes. Paul, I don't know what happened with them, why they put that headline on it, you know, why they wrote it to begin with. It seems so odd.
It's out of place for them.
But,
yeah.
But, yeah, it was really, you know, it was just really strange. Really strange. But, see, that's the power of responsibility as a journalistic body. Like,
fake news.
That's not where that's supposed to come from.
No. No. And there was nothing in it. If you got past the
headline.
Massive clickbait headline and read it, you realize, wait, there's no reporting in here.
Yeah.
There's
nothing
in here that says he's getting fired.
Right. It was crazy.
It was just stuff
dating back to like October, wasn't it? Or November. I mean, it was something weird, like referencing some tweets from NFL Network back in the fall.
That didn't even say fired. It was like a potential hot seat.
Yeah, it was really strange.
Just incredibly strange. And so I never really had an opinion on Forbes as like a journalistic entity.
Right.
I mean, I definitely do now.
Yeah, that was really.
Where it's like, okay, apparently they're trying to be a joke now and become part of the clickbait community. Calling you out, Forbes. Get it together. That was pathetic.
That was.
So that's one. Two.
Which is almost even.
This is what happens. So many people assume this is what's supposed to happen. They just start trying to make it happen themselves. Right. So because we're sticking around with out of market ridiculousness.
Right.
Chris Cooley. You're saying who? Chris Cooley, who used to play fullback for the Washington Redskins, he now he does radio there.
Yeah.
Floats during his radio show under the premise that Paul Gunther is going to end up as Jay Gruden's defensive coordinator because they're boys. That Marvin Lewis is like going to retire because he's carrying boxers around Paul Brown Stadium.
Never mind that it was Christmas time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where the boxes could have been going.
I mean, it was just like, yeah, that was really, really strange. And, you know, we'll give Jeff Hobson some credit here. You know, I mean, he would kind of know. I mean, he's like, Paul Gunther's under contract.
Yeah.
And the Bengals rarely fire guys, and with money, time and money left, and
Paul Gunther ain't leaving here under contract unless it's for a head coach position.
Yeah. So that whole premise is off to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was
I mean, Marvin Lewis is not retiring. 2 weeks ago, I mean, anybody listens to BVP knows, because we've been talking about it
right
over and over again. He said, I am coming back here if asked. And Mike ain't getting rid of him.
No, I think, Paul Dougherty sat down with Marvin, and he flat out said, I will be back.
Yeah.
If asked. And so then people are like, oh, if asked. It's like, well, what he's saying is if I'm not fired, I'm going to be here.
Yes, I'm not retiring.
He's under contract.
Yes.
It's crazy, Paul. Like,
and then this stuff hit, and it was just viral storm, where then it went from not just report out of Washington that Marvin Lewis is going to retire, and then it just said Marvin Lewis is going to retire, and then it said, is Rex Ryan the next coach of the Bengals? It's like, how did it go within 3 hours from a ridiculous report to maybe Rex Ryan is the Bengals' next head coach?
Right. And here's a funny thing, too. Like, so then today, shortly thereafter, you know, I think, you know, Marvin's a pretty astute guy. And I know that's going to sound strange to some of you guys, but he's not a dumb guy. Like, Marvin reads everything. He sees everything, hears everything, and he's aware. So, you know, national source floats out to Edward or something. I saw it on ESPN News Services, not a fake site. Source says Marvin's coming. Well, it's like, well, yeah, we don't need a source.
Yeah.
We don't need someone close to Marvin.
It's Marvin.
Marvin said it to us.
To us. And now he's saying
it record,
again.
Yeah, so.
He's going to continue saying it. He's like, how many times do I have to say it? I mean, I just... It honestly, in a tiny sliver of, you know, this is the least important thing ever to have to worry about when we talk about fake news. This is 100% the type of stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
Where made up trash becomes fact in a matter of hours to people.
Right.
Where everyone is talking to us like, oh my God, Marvin's getting fired.
Right. And that's a funny thing, Paul, because, look, there's Associated Press, us. There's like two other outlets that cover the Bengals on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody talking about any of that in Cincinnati.
No.
And then there's your handful, and it's about, I would say, a half dozen on the national level for multiple outlets. You know, and then there's and in that half dozen, it's guys occasionally who have Bengals news. You know, that's just pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, but guys you can trust. And crickets.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that.
Because it's trash.
And
garbage. We should bring back Adam. Yeah. Garbage. Garbage. Chris Cooley, garbage.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You go digging around a trash can for Forbes.
Yeah. Is Forbes in there? Chris Cooley in there? So you in just, there, Chris
yeah,
Cooley?
And then you got the aggregator sites. And that's a problem with that stuff too, Paul, because, you know, they exist because of us, essentially. And then, you know, trying to find other stuff and clicks. Mm-hmm. It's just, look, you're listening to us because you're fans and you know where to go. And I guess that's all. I guess that's all we could say.
Yeah.
Is we if hope you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, and you listen to this, direct them our way.
Yeah.
And look, we'll give the national guys credit. The AJ stuff started there. We cleaned it up. We tightened it all up for you, you know, in a matter of hours. But, like, that's the thing.
Yeah, there's certain reputable places you can go to. Don't until you start seeing those people chiming in on this. Because what do you think? That something like this gets floated out and we don't do work on it just to double-check ourselves? I mean, I didn't really need to with a lot of this because we already did the work 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, you think that no one is checking in on that? Yeah, of course they are, and realizing there's nothing. That's why all the reputable people aren't saying anything.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to another issue. Cedric Wehi gets his start at left tackle.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton gets a bruise in his back.
Yeah.
This is probably what's going to happen for a little while, as long as this was big in that the Bengals wanted to see what Cedric Wehi looked out like out there at left tackle, because they saw him at right tackle and he can't play right tackle. That's apparent.
Right.
He says he feels 1,000 times more natural at left. Paul Alexander says he looks a lot more natural at left. That's just where he is most natural. Jadeveon Clowney just tossed him into Andy Dalton and then blew up Andy Dalton's blind side.
Yeah.
Whitney Mercilus just blew around him to the outside. He got caught up in the fray in the running game. It wasn't a great showing for a guy who looks real natural.
Right.
He looked pretty unnatural.
Yeah.
It looked like a lot like the guy on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Clowney and Mercilus are two of the best in the league. But, yeah, that's what happens.
when you're the left tackle.
When you're the left tackle, there's a lot of really good dudes coming off that edge.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to be better than that. And, you know, you can't, you know, after the game, sort of talking to Cedric, and he said, well, I thought outside of those two, in pass protection, outside of those two, I thought it went okay. Okay. You can't give up two sacks a game. You can't give up two giant hits on your quarterback on the blind side a game.
Yeah.
That I'm not a math guy. That equates to 32 sacks given up over the course of a year. That would be bad for one person.
That would be really bad.
That would be a bad year.
Yeah.
That would get you kicked out of the league in a hurry.
That's true.
And you know, who knows? I mean, maybe he eventually gets better. But the one thing we know is that you cannot trust coming back next year that 70 can be slot as your starting left tackle. You can't.
No.
You can't.
And I can't backtrack on what I said last week when we talked about this idea where I felt you could make a judgment on him after two games because you've seen him on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think
it needs to look different.
Yeah, and it looked the same, good and bad. You know, there were times that he held his own with Clowney. There were times, but I mean, we can argue about Clowney's consistency too. There were times where he, you know, helped do something in the run game. But again, Paul, it's the same. You know, the flashes are. That's tough. That's tough to say. You know, we're good to go with this guy.
Tackle and offensive line is not a position of flashes. It's a position of consistency.
Right. Even if you're not all-world, all-pro, because there aren't that many of those guys. I mean, look at Andrew Withers had a hard time getting those designations for as good as he's been.
Yeah.
So that, you know, but you're right. It's, I don't know. I think that they were really, we're recording this on Tuesday. They were really non-committal about their lineup on that side against the Ravens. I understand that, especially if you are going to have Andy Dalton playing. But I still think you need to put him out there another game. I think you got to give him all those reps.
Yeah, and he's got to go. I guess he's got to go prove that he's better.
Either that or all they needed was the one game.
One game and saw enough. Maybe. I would be with you. I think that you give him the Ravens game to go out there and play again. But good Lord, give him a chip. Yeah. Like, give him some help.
Well, that's a funny thing, Paul. They actually comparatively did that way more in Houston. Eric Winston, tackle eligible, is on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Hewitt, offset eyes. Tyler or CJ Uzama. Sorry, that's right. The other Tyler Croft didn't play, by the way. CJ Uzama off that side. Rex Burkhead. Like, if you – they got away from a lot of what Paul Alexander prefers to do with that, and mm-hmm. it still didn't look great.
No. You're right. You're right. So, yeah, that's just a concern. I mean, you just can't – you cannot feel good, and that's why, you know, when you start talking about Andrew Whitworth.
Right. 35-year-old Andrew Whitworth.
35-year-old Andrew Whitworth. I just don't know how you look at it and say, eh, that guy, we got a guy.
Yeah, because are you still entirely sure about Jake Fisher? I mean, he's kind of sliding under the radar a little bit at right tackle just because you got to watch it.
You know, Paul Alexander raved about the way he played against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Thought they maybe found an answer. He had a bad sack in the fourth quarter that he gave to Merciless in a huge spot.
Yeah.
Where he just got toasted. But, so, you're right. I mean, there's certainly issues there, too, that you've got to deal with. Just really the line as a whole. And that's what goes back to what we were talking about when you talk about Kevin Zeitler and these guys. I mean,
right.
Are you not going to pay those guys where you got line crumbling all over? You're the one guy that's one or two guys that were actually good for you this year. Witt and Zeit are really the two guys that were good up front this year. The other three were average or anywhere from average to complete atrocious, abhorrent mess.
And oh, by the way, Clint Bowling moved to IR having shoulder surgery.
Have a shoulder surgery. Something he was playing through all last year. So you're going to tell me that you'll be like, eh, let Zeitler go. Guards are not worth it. Let Witt go. He's old. Okay, now you got nobody that was good on your line.
Yeah, for a team that doesn't like to play young guys, I mean, Sed was kind of the exception to that rule. Blew up in their face. I mean, in the sense that hasn't been that good. Could be good, maybe. I don't know. But you're right, though. That's are you going to plug and play with an offensive line when you've got when you feel you're still in a window with your receiver, your quarterback, some of your defensive players?
Yeah,
it's tough.
It's tough. Yeah, we got a lot of offseason. We'll be getting into that even further as we get closer to free agency and stuff. All right, we've got some time still. I would take questions off Twitter right now.
No.
Except they're all full of Marvin Lewis garbage. Yeah. Which is
But you know what? That drowns out AJ McCarron guy.
Oh my god. AJ McCarron guy. We found the silver lining. So there's no AJ McCarron guy right now. That's great. That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean I did have somebody when discussing the Marvin Lewis concept say that well, you realize because of this whole Marvin Lewis thing that a whole generation of Bengals fans have grown up not wanting to be Bengals fans because they refuse to make the move on the coach. Hey, tell me how that idea floats when you tell somebody who grew up with the Bengals in the 90s how that looks.
Yeah.
That was literally the lost generation.
Right.
Okay, of fans. Marvin brought the fans back. And they took them to 5 straight playoff appearances. That's a lot of times when a kid went to his first game and went home with a W.
Right.
Those weren't playoff games.
55 times, yeah.
Weren't playoff games. But a whole lot of times.
Wasn't David Klingler.
Dalton threw a whole lot of passes to A.J. Green.
Right.
It was pretty awesome. And trust me, we've been around this
Green
a lot.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton. A.J. Green. A.J. Green. Yelling for these guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We're all right, let's go. It's so jaggy that that the Jags won. Immediately, it's even jaggier that Rex Ryan got fired 1 week after.
Well, Rex is getting fired, started up about a week before.
Yes. They should have just pulled the trigger.
Fired Gus after like week 4, and then they could have went on the winning streak. A big bet, which was Jags over under.
Yeah,
really did not go your way at all.
I got to see getting fired. That's just salt in the wound. Even though he wanted to, everybody knew he wanted to. All right, boy, I've been mad this podcast. Yeah. There's just so many things that are ROBBP, the BBBP. It was where. Yeah. Do you have anything that's actually?
You
don't have anything, do you?
I'm not as fired up. No, I mean, at some point this weekend, you know what's making me mad? Everything.
Maybe
with an expletive in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Boy, the BBBP.
Yeah.
The bizarre.
My little salad.
Your little salad.
You know, I believe, you know, Pizarro a little bit.
Yeah. You and who, they sit on the other side of the
yeah.
of Reggie's. Oh, can you mad? Jags are inevitability. If anybody sees Jeff Ruby, any help you can offer me there. And see what we've got. Oh, my God. My timeline has been just so filled trash.
I haven't had any legitimate questions yet.
All right. I'm not going to go into it. So Bengals play the Ravens in a game.
Oh, by the way.
In a game that no one cares about on Sunday. You even went up to talk to Russell Bodine about our matchup.
Yeah, for game day.
And he was just like, ugh.
Yeah, he just.
Yeah. Are we going to really sit here and talk about Timmy Jernigan?
Yeah.
It's like the players want this season to be over the same way we do at this point.
Yeah. They're just trying to get out healthy. You know, that's the, for a lot of them, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Give them credit. You know, they I thought the team played pretty hard on Saturday and Christmas Eve in Houston. You know, it'll be a little different this Sunday with nothing on the line. I mean, Houston had everything on the line.
Yeah.
You know, this week will be really interesting. We'll see what John Harbaugh does. You know, well, we know Steve Smith Sr.'s out there. You're not pulling that guy off the field.
No, it's going to be surprising his last game.
About, you know, some of those other guys. Suggs is in that same category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they want to finish with the winning record. Look, I mean, Baltimore in general has been down. I mean, for as
about 3 years.
Yeah,
now.
You know, so I mean, I think for John Harbaugh, it's been a long time since that Super Bowl. I mean, Colin Kaepernick was good back then.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
This is true.
It's I think it would mean something to Baltimore to finish 9-7, sweep the Bengals. Something they haven't, you know, that was kind of a monkey on their back for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, but again, we saw this offense, Paul, without those guys, and I just don't know where the points come from. You know, some of these other guys aren't going to play again.
Playing the kids. Yeah, you know, they're playing the kids. They're going to, yeah, who knows? Who knows? I guess we'll get more into that into the deuce.
Maybe.
Yeah, who knows? That feels like a really unnecessary podcast this week. All right. So, well, you never know. We'll see. We'll probably be able to talk about whatever.
Well, AJ Green will tell us he's playing.
AJ Green will say he's ready to play because he hasn't been put on IR yet.
No.
And Marvin will hopefully say some nasty words
about
Chris Cooley.
Jesus being active.
Coombs, Coomy, he's up. Touchdown, Jesus is gonna go bonkers.
5 for 85, 2 TDs.
No doubt. Put in Kumaro.
Don't do that. You're gonna lose all your money.
Oh man! All right, so we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
As far as a song to get us out of here, I feel like there's been a whole lot about mess and trash and fake news, and I mean it's been a season of garbage, really.
Right.
So, don't you know there is a song about trash?
Of course.
Of course there is, because there's a song about everything.
Yeah.
Oscar.
You got to learn.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to teach you.
Yeah. About what trash is.
Right.
We don't love trash, but we're here for you. And apparently everybody out there loves trash. Yeah. And it's been the year of trash. We've been surrounded by garbage and trash.
Yeah.
So it's only fitting that in our last BBP before a game, we're obviously not going to stop the BBPs. Yeah, last BBP before a game, Oscar the Grouch just gets to sing to you about how much he loves trash. So I hope you enjoy that. BTS, we will have one more show Tuesday, January 3rd.
Yep.
We have one more show. So come down, your last chance to come check it out down at Hofbra House, January the 3rd, 7 o'clock. Also on Cincinnati.com. You can watch it there. And keep following everything on Cincinnati.com. Make sure you have the Bengals app. As you hit the offseason, you need the app. Because we push all the news that happens to you. It's much less routine in the off season, but if something happens, you need to know. And we're here for you, so we will send it to you. So make sure you have that. Much thanks to our folks at Audio Boom who do all our work putting all this stuff together for us. And thanks to Oscar the Grouch
for
taking us out. I love trash.
Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. If you really want to see something trashy, look at this. I have here a sneaker that's battered and worn. It's all full of holes and the laces are torn. A gift from my mother the day I was born. I love it because it's trash. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. It's a more rotten stuff. I have here some newspaper 13 months old. I've wrapped this inside it. It's smelly and old. But I wouldn't trade it for a big pot of gold. I love it because it's trash. Yes, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. Now look at this restless junk. I've a clock that won't work and then no telephone. A broken umbrella, a rusty trombone. And I am delighted to call them my own. I love them because they're trash. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I